I'm Sperry Sparks, the grandson of Cap and Tilly Sparks, who are the founders of the Sparks Foundation and built this beautiful facility. It was opened 83 years ago on May 9th, his birthday. Probably 25,000 or more individuals from Jackson and elsewhere were here. And it was a wow, because they had never seen anything like this. You can imagine the first time that you were to ever see the Cascades, if somebody was going to say, you're going to see something that's a little different. Well, that's what they saw.
I think anybody who was raised in Jackson probably has some type of memory here.
If you go on Facebook or you look at tripadvisor.com, you'll see the Cascades is always usually in the top three attractions. People coming to Jackson, they want to go to the Cascades. I'm still involved in the tourism business, so I know how popular the Cascades is. I'm here to tell you that this is pure Michigan, right here in Jackson.
There's a 2,000 gallon minute pump and a 60 horse motor located over here underground. And then there's the backup one is a 30 horse motor and a 1,000 gallon per minute pump. They draw the water from a 30,000 gallon tank over there underground, which is supplied by a well. And then it pumps it to the top of the hill through a 14 inch cast iron line, empties out at the top and rolls down the falls.
There are actually behind us 16 different waterfalls that comes down, of which 11 are illuminated.
And the history here is just fantastic. The whole history with Cap Sparks and what he did, not only here in the Cascades, but he put Jackson on the map.
Cap Sparks came over from Devonshire, England, with his dad, George, and his mom, Elizabeth. Probably at age 17, he started a grocery store, the Sparks Grocery Store, at different locations.
But he worked 14-hour days there, and he was determined he was going to be a success. And then when he got married to Matilda, he decided he wanted to get even better. So he went to night school at Devlin Business College. And there's a story that Tilly asked him to do that because his penmanship was so bad.
Winthrop and Win Withington hired my grandfather as an office manager for their little company. He borrowed George's overcoat to interview for that job. And my great-grandfather said, I'll never get rid of that overcoat because my son has improved himself from being just a grocer to a real entrepreneur. They had an engineer there, and this was the ticket. This engineer said, you know, there's a company down in Toledo, just down the line in Ohio, and they're making, it's called Klaxon, and they're making a horseless carriage horn. And he said, I can design a horn for us that I think we can compete against Klaxon, which they were able to do. And then a few years later, he turned the mechanical horn into an electric horn, and now they were on their way.
His first contract in 1913 was with Packard. By 1921, he was doing Ford motor horns.
Henry allowed my grandfather to put a label on that horn saying Sparks Withington Company, Jackson, Michigan, Spartan. The word Spartan came from Sparks and Withington, Spartan. They made horns from 1920 to 1951 when my dad left management. And out of that North Street plant, they were making 12,000 pair of horns a day. He survived even during the Depression. We brought out radio in 1928, and the radio kept the sales going, not necessarily in the black all the time, but it kept the company going. Probably 1 in 15 employees during, say, 1929 were working at Sparks. We had 7,000 employees.
He made millions of dollars. He was very successful, and he was very gracious about it. He was a very humble man.
I knew Granddad Sparks very well. He was a loving granddad, a loving father to both his sons, and every Christmas Eve, we would go to Cap and Tilly's. They had a third floor ballroom, and of course the children never got into that, but they'd love to have parties for their friends, and they were very generous. Cap was a different kind of an individual. He liked to give.
He was civic minded. He was a three-time mayor. He was president of the Chamber of Commerce. He was in civics groups and service clubs. But he loved Jackson. When he adopted this as his hometown, he really wanted to put Jackson on the map. So part of his vision was, once he had all these millions, he decided he wanted to give back.
Hi, I'm George Pearson from Howard Hanna Real Estate. Whether you're looking for residential, commercial, industrial, or vacant land, please give me a call at number 517-740-8910. I will find the right property for you.
At Cascades Golf Course, you will experience a classically designed championship golf course that is beautifully maintained and enjoyed by golfers of all ages. Cascades has a great twilight special on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday after 2 p.m. Golfers can play for just $20. The clubhouse has great golf merchandise and now offers a selection of beer, wine, and spirits. Call us today for information on outings or visit CascadesGolfCourse.com to make your tee time online. Cascades Golf Course, championship golf since 1929.
Discover an inescapable adventure. Jackson's original historic prison tour. Live, knowledgeable guides take you inside Michigan's first state prison. Now Armory Arts Village. Hear gripping tales of crime, creeps, and corruption. Visit Michigan's first permanent cell block. Dungeon-like solitary. An artist studio and an apartment carved from cells. Once home to dangerous inmates. Experience Jackson's rich prison history. Amid the towering prison walls. Visit experiencejackson.com/prison.
If you have the desire to unleash your imagination and creativity, then the Jackson School of the Arts is the place for you. With a vast array of classes offered in art, dance, and theater, kids and adults alike can thrive and be inspired. Over 40 dance classes are available, including dance cheer camps for the kids and ballroom dance for adults. Classes in painting, drawing, and clay are also available to ignite your creativity. Come make an impact at Jackson School of the Arts, located in Art 634 on Mechanic Street. The mission of the Ella Sharp Museum is to provide opportunities for everyone to explore, engage in, and enjoy history and the arts. Located in Ella Sharp Park, the museum's six galleries, historic farm lane, and collection of outdoor sculptures are open to the public year-round, 5 days a week. Visitors can view exhibits in the galleries or take a guided tour of the Merriman Sharp Farmhouse. To learn more, visit ellasharp.org or call 517-787-2320.
Jackson Public Schools provides a world-class education with rich diversity, traditions, and a history of excellence. We are educating the future of tomorrow today. The JPS Montessori School is the newest addition to our learning options for elementary school, offering a public Montessori method education for children ages 5 to 8 years old. The Montessori method emphasizes learning through all five senses, a truly hands-on, unique experience. Children in Montessori classes learn at their own individual pace and according to their own choice of activities from hundreds of possibilities. Learning is an exciting process of discovery leading to concentration, motivation, self-discipline, and love of learning. Montessori represents an entirely different approach to education. We are Vikings.
The Pickle Barrel Deli is proud to be serving again from downtown Jackson. Stop in for fresh-made deli sandwiches, soups, and salads. The Pickle Barrel Deli. Keep it local, keep it fresh.
Are you still running your business on Windows XP? After 12 years, support for Windows XP has ended. What does this mean? It means your computer systems are more vulnerable to viruses, spyware, and hackers than ever before. Before your company suffers a loss in profits, productivity, or even entire system failure, call PC Solutions now to schedule your free on-site evaluation. PC Solutions, we manage your IT so you can manage your business.
when he was in Barcelona in 1929, he saw this palace that was up at the top of a hill. And in front of it were these formal fountains, and there was landscaping with trees, and it went up and down a hillside. And that gave him a vision of what he would like to build here in Jackson. So in 1929, he and his wife and his two sons, Clifford and Harry, established a foundation and announced they were going to build this park. He had a vision this would be a meditation center.
The focal spot of the foundation property will be a hill in almost the exact center of the property. The hill is 70 feet high, which will be topped by a tower of masonry, 200 feet high, probably equipped with an elevator and chimes, and with a meditation chapel below and possibly a museum. Tumbling down from the hillside will be a series of cascades, which will flow at the bottom into a pretentious fountain. This is not a park, not a preserve, it is rather a haven for people to rest and meditate and improve their minds. Everything on the foundation property will be designed for the practical use of all the people. Commercial activities of all kinds will be discouraged.
He bought this property, which was basically five farms full of muck. It was swampy, they raised onions. In fact, when he was younger, it said that he worked in one of these farms as a worker. So he knew this whole area and the topography and what it was like. The head engineer at Sparks Withington was a man named A.W. Hall. And he asked Mr. Hall, "I want you to design something." Now, he came up with a couple ideas, and Sparks didn't really like it. In fact, General Electric had come to him with a design, and it was a circular design that was 50 foot in diameter and had all these fountains just going up around the circle. Didn't like that. Well, it was a Saturday, and Mr. Hall, I don't know whether he just gave up or whatever, but he pulled in one of his young workers, an engineer named Donald Sargent, and says, "Sargent, we want you to work on this for Captain Sparks." It was a Saturday afternoon, everybody goes home, but Sargent stays over. And what he comes up with is basically what you see behind us. He brings it to Captain Sparks the next Saturday. Sparks says, "That's exactly what I want." When they awarded the contract, it went to North Moeller, which was a local company. Part of the contract said, this has to be done by April 26th of 1932. And you're gonna hire only married men from Jackson, because it was the start of the Depression. He paid them 37 cents an hour, which was pretty good money back then. And he wanted the money to go to somebody who's gonna be able to support a family. There was between 125 and, at its peak, 150 men from Jackson working on the project. He announced all this in the fall of 1929. By the spring, they started excavating.
You'll see workmen with steam shovels and pick and shovel and wheelbarrows. It was tough labor.
Now, this hill that the Cascades is set on is both man-made and part of the natural area. They used a lot of the earth and the muck to construct these different levels. It wasn't originally like that, but it was a pretty significant hill. And they wanted a big tower on it. Well, that didn't happen. That was gonna cost about $1 million to build. And he was suffering from the stock market crash. There wasn't as much money available. The mausoleum was supposed to be for he and his wife Tilly and the family. And it said, you know, that Tilly didn't like that idea, so it was nixed. But it probably had to do more with the funds. He had a vision of what was known as to have a Prado, and he saw this in Havana, Cuba. He wanted a 2,100 foot Prado to go right down all the way up to West Avenue. And they started working on it, and they cleared it all out. But it just kept sinking and sinking. So they hauled in 55,000 cubic yards, and it still sinks. They throw in railroad ties, they throw in trees, they throw anything they think will stabilize that land to make this Prado, and it still sinks. And over time, they just seeded it and basically let the swamp take over.
It took 2 years. It started in 1930. Through the winter, they didn't work, but 1930, 31, and in 1932, May, it opened up.
The clubhouse also opened up at the same time. There were close to 25,000 people here for the first opening. People were going up and down. They were from all over the states. It was significant. He was pushing this. He wanted to put Jackson on the map, and this was going to be his pride and joy. Within 6 years, they said there was close to a couple million people that stopped by. Captain Sparks was in contact with a lot of famous people. And one of the stories I like is that he knew Amelia Earhart, and she flew into Jackson. And he took a ride with her up in the plane, and they flew over the Cascades, and he's tossing out candy. And, you know, it was said he took it pretty bad when she disappeared because he liked her. They were friends. By 1938, which was 6 years later, this community loved the Cascades, so they decided they were going to put on an 8-day festival. It was called the Cascades Festival, and it was going to be a show, and it was called Aqualore. There were 1,200 local people, but they also brought in other actors, and there were acrobats and singers and musicians. 2,000 people, and for 8 nights, they put on a show here. Now, this wasn't just a little show. They built 5 stages over the falls. They built another stage at the top, and then there were stages on the side of the hills. There were 10 different little shows, and it featured water and what the water was significant to different cultures. Now, this was so big that all the cars got backed up on Randolph Street, clear down High Street, and they went all the way to Greenwood. It was kind of one of Jackson's first traffic jams. There was a woman who was known as Goddess of the Rainbow, sort of like the Rose Queen that we might have today. Her name was Barbara Boardman. She actually went around as kind of an ambassador for the Cascades. She went to people in Ohio and across the nation, inviting them to see it. There were people that showed up here later on in the 40s. We had Bob Hope here. We had Danny Kaye here. Anybody who was significant that stopped at the theaters, whether they were at Clark Lake or in town here, they would come to the Cascades. That's what Captain Sparks wanted. He wanted to show off Jackson. And this is how he did it, with the Cascades.
Hi, I'm Ben Kriesch, principal of Paragon Charter Academy. At Paragon, we set high standards, make expectations clear, teach to the needs of each child, and as a result, our students thrive. Come see for yourself. Give us a call at 750-9500. We'll be happy to show you the difference a Paragon education can make. Success now is the foundation for success in the future. That's Paragon Charter Academy, 750-9500. It can change your child's future.
Find your new favorite spot for great food, friendly atmosphere, and choice coffee at Cafe Lilla. For breakfast, lunch, or dinner, try our signature paninis and sandwiches, homemade salads and baked goods, Mike's cookies, and so much more. Enjoy one of our popular flavored coffees roasted locally in Michigan. On the go, we have a drive-through window just for you. Cafe Lilla. You'll find flavor and family at this hidden gem of Jackson. Stop in and enjoy today.
Willis & Jurasek, your one-stop financial, accounting, and business consulting shop. By working with their clients, the experienced staff at Willis & Jurasek not only provide timely and accurate services, they are also proactive in recognizing the specific current and future needs of each of their clients. Being the largest locally owned CPA firm in the Jackson area allows Willis & Jurasek to provide creative and innovative solutions crafted with their clients. And with Willis Information Technologies, full-service IT is at your fingertips, keeping your business online, connected, and productive. Willis & Jurasek thanks the Jackson community for allowing them to provide service excellence since 1967, and looks forward to providing many more years of the same. Online at willispc.com.
Kids and Stuff Children's Museum, where fun and learning come together. For information about exhibits, field trips, and birthday parties, visit us online at kidsandstuff.org or call 517-629-8023. Elementary school teachers, call today to book a field trip to Kids and Stuff Children's Museum in downtown Albion. Cost is $3.50 per child with one free chaperone for every four children. Our exhibits are correlated to Michigan curriculum standards, so your visit will be educational and fun at the same time. Come and see the fun. Come to Kids and Stuff.
Dig Downtown Jackson. This summer, Downtown Jackson welcomes you. Our community's historic construction project is underway. As century-old infrastructure is replaced, you have a front-row seat to watch this massive dig. While in progress, all stores, shops, restaurants, clubs, offices, and buildings are open. All sidewalks are wide and open, and parking is plentiful. Summer events are happening. Cruise nights, patio parties, and outdoor concerts in the brand new Horace Blackman Park. Come downtown this summer. We're open and ready. Watch for special signs directing you to parking and destinations. And visit digjackson.com for updates, maps, and more. There's a lot to see and do. Come down and watch as Jackson prepares for the next century. This summer in downtown Jackson.
You do your best to save money for college. But what can you do when it just isn't enough? Jackson Community Federal Credit Union can help with our Student Choice Lending Program. You can borrow up to $75,000, and payments won't start until 6 months after graduation. You only have to apply once for all 4 years, and you have flexible payback options to help save you interest, all with no application fee. As your local lender, we care about your college success. Visit our website to check out our Student Choice Lending Program today.
When you're considering assisted living, consider Legacy Assisted Living, conveniently located just 5 minutes from downtown Jackson. This beautiful residence features ground floor apartments, delicious meals, engaging social activities, and our on-site rehabilitation services, which focus on the whole person. This is to help the residents regain their optimal level of independence. Come see for yourself. Call 764-2000 for your tour today. 45 years
is Little Caesars proudly introduces the large, deep, deep dish pizza with more cheese, more pepperoni, and 8 crispy caramelized corners that deliver a crunch in every bite. It's hot and ready every day for just $8, only at Little Caesars.
Pizza, pizza.
So for the fastest, friendliest service in town and a meal that will fill you up without emptying your pocket, remember, it's Little Caesars Carryouts of Jackson, located on East Michigan and West Avenue in Jackson.
Captain Sparks opens this up when he's 59 years old. By the time he's 70, he passes away of colon cancer, and that would be 1943. Now, he had established a foundation hoping that the money from the stocks would keep this going for the community, but that didn't happen. By 1943, the foundation does not have any more funds. So the year later, it's handed over to the county as a county park. And it stays that way. There are things going on here, right? You know, picnics, family reunions. There was no fencing around this. This was all open to the public. By 1969, after years of people not really taking care of it, it's, you know, got water and concrete. You have to maintain that type of thing. The vandals are just in here. It's falling apart. It's close to just being totally shut down because of the deterioration. The community decides, yes, we really want to save the Cascades. So you have everything from children in the schools saving pennies to service clubs to just any, you know, companies. They decided, yes, we want to preserve the Cascades. And then the idea came about, well, we better enclose it. And that's when they decide to design and build the wall. This big concrete wall was really promoted and pushed by a county commissioner named Dave McManus. And he took a lot of heat for that. In fact, it was a nickname, Fort McManus, for a while. People weren't pleased with it.
I didn't grow up in Jackson. And when I drove down here and I came down Brown Street, the first thing I saw was this wall. I wasn't sure why you would have a wall like that in a park. And if I had a dollar for everybody that told me this, you know, we haven't been to Cascades since they put the wall up.
But it did achieve keeping the vandals out. But it also took away what you loved about it, which was having that full view. It was later on when they had to start funding it seriously.
The first campaign that I worked on was to replace what I call some of the guts of the Cascades. So in 1982, we replaced the old mechanical controller and replaced it with computers that then ran the Cascades. We computerized the light and the sound and the music, and that was the first big innovation here at the Cascades. The next biggest project was around 1993. The big lagoon system out here on the other side of Brown Street was the water. They were bringing that water underneath Brown Street, pumping it up to the top of the falls, and pumping it down through the falls. So you had water that was not treated, was not chlorinated, was just water full of tadpoles and frogs and turtles. We put in 2 1,000-gallon tanks. So we got rid of the smell, we got rid of the maintenance problems, and even today, they're using that closed-loop system that we put in. And I worked hard during the time I was here to incorporate special events to make the Cascades and the park itself part of the community. We created family nights, and every Wednesday night, for one low price, you could bring your family. And if you brought 20 people and said they were your family, that's fine. Okay, you got in for that price, and we started doing costume characters, and we always have entertainment on the stage. So Wednesday nights was a big bargain night for the community to make them feel a part of this Cascades. The Rotary Clubs of Jackson built the band shell, which I think is still the number one outdoor venue for concerts in Jackson County. We okayed the ice cream, the Cascades ice cream, because everybody's got to have ice cream, right? I saw a little Civil War reenactment in a little town north of here, and I thought, my gosh, you know, this park is perfect for that. And I tell you the truth, I brought it here to enhance the waterfalls, because once those thousands of people were here for that weekend, they came right in here.
We went from a programmable controller, I guess is what you want to call it, and then we went from that to a tabletop or a desktop computer, and that ran the falls through the 90s and into the early 2000s. Myself and Josh Hunt decided we needed to upgrade that system, and so we went from that to a system that we currently have now with a laptop, a different type of software. Everything is run wirelessly. We went from incandescent light bulbs under the falls, 60s and 100 watts, to LED lights. And we've reduced our electric consumption a huge amount.
I am thrilled now that we've gotten to the point where the construction companies in Jackson stepped up, took the wall down, donated the labor to do that. It's only enhanced this even more.
The falls still needs a lot of work. You know, they still got a lot of original things that are running in this thing.
The hill has to be redone because 83 years of usage, the valving, the electrical, it has to be redone. It's wearing out. We've been band-aiding, and one day, if we don't do this, it just won't work. You're going to turn the switch and nothing's going to happen.
What we have now is a Cascades champion team, and it consists of community leaders, and they are working right now to take it through several stages. The first phase was taking the wall down. They do have a vision of expanding this whole area so that it has different things for families to do. They are moving in the right direction, and I think the county is starting to realize what a jewel this is too.
I think the future is unlimited here, again, because of the tourism aspect. A lot of people had their first dates here. A lot of people have their anniversaries here. A lot of people get married here.
I think Captain Sparks, he'd be pleased with where it's going. Technology is changing daily, and we got to change with it.
People come out here and see what you've done. It's amazing. I can stand here in the evenings and watch people ooh and ah now of the falls and all the different things that we can do with it that we couldn't do before.
I'm very optimistic. I must get it a little bit from my grandfather because he started the Cascades in 1930. The crash came in 29. He just said, we're gonna go ahead with this. So I feel this place will be here 100 years from now and it will be going nicely. I feel that.